Welcome to It Really Happened, the podcast for anyone who likes stories with an unexpected and quite often unbelievable twist. All stories are true and will leave you asking yourself, did that really happen? The answer is always a resounding yes, it really did. Here is your host, Ryan Toohey.
Welcome back to episode 6 and a new set of true short stories. Let's get started with a trip across the world. In 2012, Melanie Minnie was a teacher at a nursery school in Pretoria, South Africa. In October of that year, Melanie took her class on a short field trip. They were only going to travel about a mile from the school for a celebratory lunch at a mall restaurant. Since the trip was so short, Melanie decided that she didn't need parental help, nor the school's help. She'd practice self-sufficiency by getting her 4-, 5-, and 6-year-olds there and back all on her own. Miss Minnie hauled all 31 of her students to and fro in her personal car, a Renault Clio. To give you an idea of the size of this car, the Clio holds an American classification of a subcompact and a British classification of a super mini. They made it to the restaurant, and after lunch, she set out to get all 31 students back to the school. Instead of making what would amount to roughly 6 or 7 trips, Miss Minnie did what she did on the way there. She improvised and consolidated. On the first leg of the trip back, Miss Minnie transported 12 of her students in one trip back to the school. But it gets even better. When she dropped the first 12 off back at the school, she left the other 19 unsupervised on the restaurant's playground. Then, when she returned, she crammed all of the remaining 19 children into her Super Mini. Miss Minnie and her Super Mini escapades didn't go unnoticed by adults who witnessed her dereliction of duty. On the last leg of the trip, when she picked up the other 19 children, police were called. Witnesses described the scene as children tumbling from a small car like circus clowns falling out of a Volkswagen Bug. Some pictures can be found on the internet of the Super Mini filled with kids, and it looks as bad as described. Here was the breakdown by police about the kid clown car. 3 children were in the front seat, 11 were in the rear seat, and 6 were in the hatch, which equals 20, but at this point, who's counting anyway? My question is, if she was only going to make 2 trips, why 12, then 19? I guess we'll never know. After Miss Minnie was busted, she said it was her first field trip and her last field trip. Smart thinking. But if she was really smart, she would have had her first field trip in America, where she would have had a movie made about her, The Adventures of Miss Minnie. And in case you're wondering what happened, she was fined $175. In July of 2018, an unnamed teenager cut through a screen covering an open window on the side yard of a house in Palo Alto, California. He used the window to gain access to the inside of the house. The homeowners, who were asleep in their bed, did not hear him enter the house, nor did they hear him take 2 knives from the kitchen. Then, as they were sound asleep, the young prowler purposely woke them up by talking to them. But he didn't threaten them with a knife, nor did he ask them to turn over their money, and not even their valuables. When the young prowler woke them up, all he asked for was if he could have the password to their Wi-Fi. The owner of the house pushed him down the hallway and out the front door, then called 911. The young man was picked up by police about a block away. Earlier that night, another nearby homeowner reported that there was a young man in her side yard, and he was motioning to her through her window that he wanted to talk to her. When she opened the door and asked what he wanted, he said he was out of cellular data and wanted to know if he could use her Wi-Fi. She and someone else in the house chased him off. If that's not weird enough for you, try this one out for size. In 2009, two young men broke into a home in Indianapolis, Indiana, and were quietly ransacking the house. During the invasion, one of the young men, who was later identified as an 18-year-old, heard a baby crying in the house, and the young robber proceeded to warm up a bottle in the microwave and gave it to the crying baby. The young bottle warmer was apprehended several days after the incident at the local high school. A small disclaimer for this story. It does contain a small amount of violence and a minor injury, but nothing worse than can be seen on the nightly news on any given night. In 2011, Alfred Stewart and a group of his friends were out celebrating the birthday of one of their group members at the Ocean's 11 Lounge and Grill in Hallandale Beach, Florida. Alfred and one of the friends didn't seem too concerned with what others around them thought as they openly gestured for all to see. A woman across the room, 45-year-old Barbara Lee, didn't take too kindly to it. She didn't like them singling her out and directing their rival gang signs at her. The very bold Barbara Lee marched right over and confronted Alfred and his friend and made gang signs right back at them. They brushed her off, and the furious Barbara Lee was asked to leave the premises, which she did. But Barbara soon returned with two people, a 17-year-old and a 19-year-old man named Marco Ibanez. Ibanez seemed to be there to defend Barbara's honor. The scene quickly got out of control when Ibanez took a knife out and assaulted Alfred and his friend, and a large fight broke out. Alfred saw everyone fighting and he retreated to the bathroom where he found his shirt was covered in blood. Alfred ended up in the hospital for 2 days with 20 stitches on the upper part of his back. It was said the bar's bouncer tried to break up the fight when it started, but he was quickly taken out by Barbara Lee with a beer bottle to the head. No one was more upset about the situation than Alfred's mother, 51-year-old Brenda Stewart. Brenda said, "If I was there, things would have been really ugly." Things already seemed like they were really ugly, but maybe Brenda would have brought some Karen ugly to the already existing chaos. So why would a guy singling out other patrons and flashing gang signs need his mother to intervene and protect him? Let's let angry Brenda sum it up with this statement. She said, "I don't know if they were drunk or stupid, but how can you confuse sign language with gang signs?" Poor Alfred had no idea what was going on when he was attacked by Marco Ibanez. Alfred was deaf and mute, and he was innocently talking to his friend in the only language they know, sign language. According to court records, the instigator, Barbara Lee, was charged with aggravated battery causing bodily harm, 2 counts of aggravated battery with a deadly weapon, and probation violation. Another disclaimer. The following story is not profane, nor is there any violence. However, it does contain some mature content that could be considered inappropriate for a young audience. As the saying goes, viewer discretion is advised. Melissa Nelson was very good at her job, and she loved what she did. The year was 2010, and for the prior 10 years, Melissa had been a dental assistant in Fort Dodge, Iowa, for local dentist Dr. James Knight. Dr. Knight had said that Melissa was the best dental assistant he had ever had. For almost 10 years, things were very smooth. A dentist had his best assistant ever, and the assistant loved her job and her clients. During that 10-year period of time, Melissa worked side by side with Dr. Knight for 8 hours a day, and she viewed him as a father figure and a mentor. When Melissa and her husband Steve had their 2 children, James Knight was right there at the hospital to support them. When outside of work, Melissa and Dr. Knight would sometimes exchange platonic text messages with each other that were usually said to be related to each of their children. Then, around the time James Knight turned 50, Melissa observed something had changed. She said he began to work out and he became more confident and outgoing. Melissa said the only thing she could come up with was that he was having a midlife crisis. She continued to do her job, and as always, she was doing it very well. Then one day, out of the blue, Dr. James Knight fired the best dental assistant he had ever had. Melissa was given 1 month of severance pay, and that was it. She was devastated and had no idea what she had done wrong. What had Melissa Nelson done to get herself fired from the job that had appeared to be a perfect fit? Had she hurt a patient during a treatment? Had she stolen from the business? Had she harassed or insulted a client or coworker? So many possibilities. Melissa's husband, Steve, asked James Knight what Melissa had done wrong, and Knight told him that Melissa had done nothing wrong. After her termination, Melissa Nelson filed a lawsuit against James Knight. Over time, Melissa's case made its way through the lower court system in the state of Iowa and eventually made its way all the way up to the Iowa Supreme Court. The judges at the Supreme Court unanimously upheld the lower court's ruling that Dr. James Knight had the right to terminate the employment of Melissa Nelson. Sometime after the initial ruling, Melissa Nelson petitioned the Supreme Court to reconsider their opinion, and something rare happened that had only happened 5 times in the prior 10 years. The Iowa Supreme Court justices approved the petition to reconsider their opinion. It's important to keep in mind that the term opinion essentially means the court's decision. In this case, the Iowa Supreme Court was not going to hear any more arguments in the case. They would only use the existing testimony and evidence to reconsider their original opinion. Based on their willingness to reconsider it, there was some hope that they might reverse their initial opinion. However, in the end, for a second time, the Iowa Supreme Court's opinion remained the same. The firing of Melissa Nelson by Dr. James Knight was not deemed to have broken any laws in the state of Iowa. James Knight had openly admitted that Melissa Nelson had done nothing wrong, and the state's Supreme Court had even looked at the case twice. So you have to be wondering, what's going on here? The reason that James Knight had fired the best dental assistant that he had ever had was because he said he had an irresistible attraction to her and that she posed a threat to his marriage. James Knight argued that Melissa Nelson was fired because of the nature of their relationship and the perceived threat to his marriage, and she was not fired because of her gender. He said he feared he would attempt an affair with her if Nelson continued to work for him. These facts were not suppressed in court. All courts who heard the case were completely aware of the details of Knight's irresistible attraction to Nelson. During the court hearings, it was revealed that sometime in 2009, James Knight's wife, who also worked at the dental office, became aware of text messages between her husband and Nelson, which were again generally said to be about child-related matters. At that point, James Knight's wife demanded that Nelson be fired, which ended up being the catalyst to her termination. Furthermore, to complicate public opinion, it was revealed in court that Knight once asked Nelson about the frequency of her sex life, to which she simply implied, "Not much." And James Knight replied by saying, "That's like having a Lamborghini in the garage and never driving it." On another occasion, Knight even acknowledged that he told Nelson that if she saw his pants bulging, she would know her clothing was too revealing, to which she indicated that she only wore standard medical scrubs, which is actually irrelevant. In the end, Melissa Nelson filed a sexual discrimination lawsuit against James Knight, but she never filed a sexual harassment suit against him, and it seems like both would have been appropriate. During the appeal of the original decision, Melissa Nelson's lawyer seemed to have summed it up well. According to court documents, he said, "If Dr. Knight would have been liable to Nelson for sexually harassing her, he should not be able to avoid liability for terminating her out of fear that he was going to harass her." Please tune in to the next episode for an all-new group of stories that really happened.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of It Really Happened. We hope you enjoyed it. Positive reviews are always appreciated. Please tune in for future episodes and like, subscribe, and share this podcast with your friends and family. If you have any questions, comments, or a story to share, please email them to itreallyhappenedpodcast@gmail.com.